Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. That is Psalm 29, verse 11. I'm sure you can use some strength and peace from the Lord this week. I know I can. Today is the first day of school for my two teen trauma kiddos. I'm recording this on Monday, September 14th. So it was pretty fluid morning and just seemed great after 26 weeks of them being home. They are finally back in school, and I'll let you know next week how that actually went the first day. I am Sandra Flack, the host of this Orphans No More podcast, and I'm thrilled you're joining us for episode 238. I love hearing from you, our listeners. Let us know if you've been encouraged and inspired by the show. Let us know, maybe you know a great foster or adoptive parent and love their story and you know, believe that it would make a great episode of this show. Connect us with those folks. And if there's topics or content that you would love us to cover, we would be happy to do that. Reach out to us. You can contact us via social media on Facebook, Instagram at Justice for Orphans. Also our website, justicefororphansny.org. You can email me directly, sandraflackjfo@gmail.com. This week is our Justice for Orphans virtual fundraising extravaganza. It is Thursday, September 17th, live at 6:30. 6:30 to 8 p.m. It's not too late. You can register to watch. If you go to our website, justicefororphansny.org, and click on events, you'll find the landing page there and the link to follow. We're pretty sure that we're going to be able to just put the link out there on Facebook and Instagram. You can watch it on YouTube. You can watch it from Facebook Live. You can watch it live on the 17th or afterward, the recorded part of it. We'll have it available so that you can always watch. So if you want to watch with your family Friday night or Saturday night or Sunday after church or with your church, we've got some churches that are actually going to be watching it together as a party, a social distance, you know, type party. Some folks are going to watch it together online, so they're going to be having virtual watch parties. I want to make sure that I thank our sponsors of the event because they are great supporters of JFO. And we did three levels of sponsorship, silver, gold, and ruby slipper, because our theme for this year's fundraiser is there's no place like home. We believe for children, there's no place like home. And sometimes home is with their biological family, and that family just needs some stability and some supports. And we're here to help with that. Sometimes it's a foster family, a kinship placement, or an adoption. And we're here to support those families as well. So we want to thank our silver sponsors, Crossroads Ford of Ravenna, Prosecco Oil of Ravenna, and Collins and Son, also of Ravenna, local folks. Really believe in this organization and the work that we do. We have some gold sponsors, J. Luke Construction out of Schenectady. That's one of our big care portal areas in Schenectady County. And New Scotland Paving is also a gold sponsor. We have some ruby slipper sponsors, which we're really excited about. Automatic Equipment Services of Ravenna, Rock Solid Church of Hudson, and Miller Animal Hospital in Troy. And we know that these organizations care about kids, and they invest in our organization because they know it's really an investment into children. We are always looking for more sponsors. It's never too late to sponsor. It's never too late to donate. And it's not too late to watch our 90-minute virtual event, which is going to include comedians, Christian comedians, testimonies, the premiere of our Justice for Orphans Care Portal video. We have a 4-minute video that we produced featuring updated the work and the impact our organization is having through Care Portal here in the Capital Region. We're going to do some free giveaways. It's going to be fun. I'm going to have some special guests kind of popping on to sort of co-host with me, or at least make some cameo appearances. So you're going to be able to hear about the work of JFO, like I said, and have an opportunity to sow into this ministry. Again, watch the virtual event online, live September 17th, Thursday night, from, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. So it's right after dinner and before you have to get the kids to bed. You can watch with your family. You can watch after they go to bed, even in your jammies on the couch instead of binge watching Netflix. But lots of fun, lots of interaction. Again, that's justicefororphansny.org. Click on events, stay tuned to our social media, and please keep us in prayer. This is kind of like the crazy week ramping up to this huge leap of faith that we've taken to do a virtual event because, you know, cyberspace, you really don't know what's going on out there. So we're just trusting the Lord that people are going to watch, everything is going to flow seamlessly, and people are going to be moved, and that they will invest in JFO so that we can continue the work of this organization, which includes this podcast. Foster and adoptive parents are used to walking by faith, right? Aren't we? Especially in the middle of COVID-19. And 2020 has been a very challenging year for everyone, especially our children with trauma histories and special needs. And I've been sharing regularly since March about my family's struggles, and we've discussed the topic of parenting during the pandemic along the way. So we've had different guests on, and we've, you know, just trying to make the content relevant because it's what we are all walking through at this time. And now with schools reopening or not reopening, depending on where you live and what school your kids attend, many families are experiencing ramped up anxiety in their kiddos. That's what's been going on at my house. My youngest son, who's 15, just really, for the first time in 10 years, he's been home 10 years. For the first time in 10 years, I was beginning to contemplate medication for him because he's just had such anxiety about being home from school and then going back to school. And we didn't end up doing, the pediatrician didn't feel like it was, we decided to go with some strategies instead of medication, some herbal supplements and that kind of thing, and some essential oils to help in his, I actually put some calming essential oil in his mask. So we'll see how it goes. I'll be letting you know. So today, bringing back on an adoptive mom who was a guest on the show many years ago, Jessica Hurlbut of way upstate New York. I always say I'm upstate, but really you're really upstate in Messina, New York, way up there. She's a pastor, a writer, a runner, and a mom of five, two adopted, two autistic, and one future president. I swiped that right off your Facebook page. Welcome back to the show, Jessica.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, it's been a while, so we'll get caught up as we chat here. It's been so long that I'm not even sure I'd have to like go way back in the archives to see when we first had our conversation. We were still on the radio at that point. Yes. So if I can do some digging, I'll let people know where they can find that show. But so to get everybody up to speed, tell us, Jessica, about your kids, your family. What's going on up there in the hills, in the mountains?
We always say there's more cows than people where I live. So that's about, and it's right on the Canadian border. But so my family is big and wild and crazy. I have five kids. My oldest biological child, his name is Jeremiah. He's 12 and he's my future president. He's doing great. And then right after him, my biological daughter, Mara, is 11, and she has autism, severe autism. And then I kind of got three babies all at once when I did foster care and adoption. So we adopted a sibling group of two back in 2000. Gosh, I'm fuzzy on dates now. I think it was the end of 2015. So we have my daughter Emma is 6, soon to be 7. Her brother Isaac is 7 years old. They're my two adopted. And in the middle of them, I found out I was pregnant. And so, yeah, that wasn't planned. And so I have a son who is also 7. So 6, 7, 7. And his name is Jacob, and he has autism also. So we're wild and crazy.
Wow.
But there's no more diapers. That's the best
part. Yay! No more diapers. And yeah, so wild, crazy. I can relate. We had 8 at one point. It's an adventure. So let's just go like prior to COVID. Did all your kids go to school? Did you homeschool? What was that like?
Yep. So my 2 kids with autism went to an ABA. BOCES has an ABA program. Mm-hmm. My son was actually in Canton and my daughter was in Potsdam, which is only about 15 minutes away. It's the same program, but they have so many kids in St. Lawrence County on the spectrum with high needs that they needed more classrooms. So when they outgrew the classrooms in the Potsdam school, they had to transition the younger kids to Canton. And their plan was always eventually we'll get them all in one school, but the need has just been so great they can't. So they've kept those. My son is still in Canton, and my daughter's in Potsdam. So that makes things a little challenging, but it's the same program and it's an amazing program. And then my typical kids all attended actually a Catholic private school in our town, right down the road from us. So that was always nice and a great place for them to be. So yeah, that was kind of our before COVID.
Wow. And what about your before COVID? Did you work outside the home? What were you doing?
So when my daughter got diagnosed when she was 3, the one that's 11 now, I kind of went from working full-time ministry to part-time ministry to no time to home all the time, which was what God wanted. And that's how I was able to foster and adopt. So it's been a long season of me being a stay-at-home mom. But 2 years ago, I started my master's in teaching. I had a bachelor's degree, and I decided I want to go back to school. If the kids are all in school, I want to be working, and really thought teaching would work good to have the summers off. So, you know, before COVID, that was kind of what our life looked like. You know, we'd get everybody to school where they were going, and I'd have some classes online, some classes in person. It was a fun, you know, it was a neat time for me because I hadn't been out of the home in a while. I'm like, oh, the world, there you are. So it was great, but I did get my degree and then COVID happened. And thankfully I've turned down several jobs because if I would have taken a job right now, like our school's just shut down again. I think I would have had to just literally tell, you know, the school, sorry, I thought I could work, but now I can't because all 5 of my kids are home right now.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Wow. So before COVID then, a typical day in the life of your family, the kids went to school.
Yep.
You were able to stay home, so you had a pretty relatively, you had your rhythm going.
Yep, yes.
And then, back in March, when everything shut down, especially schools, what impact did that have on your family?
I mean, that was huge, of course, because especially with my 2 kids with autism, they're very structured.
Yeah.
You know, the school day is important and they like to know what's happening every day. With COVID, there was like, what's happening today? I'm like, we couldn't go anywhere, right? You're like, first bath, then eat lunch. Like, you know, you couldn't even make a schedule because you couldn't, you know, you were so limited.
Yeah.
And both of my kids also have workers. They have a self-directed program. So not a ton, but 2 or 3 times a week, they'd take them out into the community, do something fun with them or something, you know, horseback riding or out to lunch or, you know, the park. So even that shut down, you know, in March for a while because, you know, just everybody was, you know, afraid and trying to be super cautious. So, I mean, and you can't explain that. Right. I can kind of explain that to my typical kids, but my kids with autism, I mean, you know, I tried little picture storybooks, but I mean, they don't understand, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's definitely been, I mean, some of that, our workers are now again working with our kids, but school is still not in session, including for my kids with autism. So we're really kind of right now fighting the school district in a sense. They're saying it's going to happen because they have such complex needs. But the problem is, the town we live in is Messina, and there's been what they call, I don't think it's very many cases, but a spike in cases in our town. So our school district said, we're not going to open. We're going to do remote learning. But the other school districts surrounding us have all returned to school. So the other school districts are like, oh, we don't want the Messina people, like with my two kids that have autism, they go to Potsdam and Canton. They're not wanting to intermingle districts.
Okay.
So that's kind of where the struggle has come in, because even in our own hometown, the special ed kids have returned to school in Messina because they're just returning to their district. But my kids are a special situation because they're in the ABA program that they have to leave their district to attend school. But there's nothing else for them. You know, we even talked to the special ed department and said, they have to go. Like, is there something else? You know, is there a classroom here in Messina maybe that temporarily they could attend? You know, and they were like, no, we can't. Sorry, that's why we sent your kids. We're not equipped to handle them, not to be rude. And I agree completely. Like, there would be no substitute. But they literally were saying, no, like, we have nothing for you. And I'm like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So that's been rough. I mean, my oldest, my 11-year-old with autism, every day, like 1,000 times a day. And 1,000 sounds like an exaggeration. It's not. go to school. First sleeping, then school, go to school. So it's been tough, but we're trying to, you know, keep upbeat and find things to do and give them, you know, just different opportunities in the meantime. And so they give us a green light. So.
Yeah, our kids in our district, because we're, you know, down here in the capital region, today, actually, as we're recording, is their first day back. And because they have, and every school district, you know, is doing it a little bit differently, but our district, the kids with IEPs can go all 5 days. And then, you know, kids, the general ed kids are sort of on a hybrid of in-person and remote. Some parents opted to do the full remote, and then some parents pulled their kids and are just doing the their homeschooling thing, which we did. I homeschooled for 16 years, but my youngest two, who are teenage boys now, have been in school the past 3 years because, like you mentioned, that structure. While my boys don't have autism, they both have fetal alcohol spectrum disorder. So some of that stuff is very similar. They need structure. They need to know what's going to happen, especially my youngest, who has it more severely. He needs to know, you know, not only what's happening today, tomorrow, and this week, but next month. he was kind of, you know, got, you know, off the charts the other day with when we go back, because first he was ramped up because we were out of school, and that was an abrupt closure. So that's a change, and he doesn't do well with change and transition. You know, it was that like, well, in 2 weeks we'll be going back. Well, no, in 2 weeks from now we'll go back. And that, like, it was just so that constant kind of back and forth did not do well with him. I had to finally stop talking about it, you know, try to stop talking about it altogether. But then when it was, okay, we're going to be reopening, then he was really stressed because now it's reopening. He's got to wear a mask. Things are different. There's no PE. There's no, like, so you know, anticipating the first day of school was
stressful,
crazy and stressful. And, you know, and then he was concerned about, are we going to get a Christmas vacation? Like, he wanted to know what the schedule was going to be at Christmas time. Now we're, you know, far, like, it's too close really that I don't really want to know that. Christmas is probably like 90 days or less away, but still for him to be worried about that. But he was, our district normally mails a calendar out. They didn't mail it out yet. It is available online. So I had to go online. I had to go through the calendar with him and show him, see, you do have this time for Christmas break. Like, you still have that. So then he was like, okay. So, I mean, it was just, you know, we've been implementing different things to try to help him. I just put a huge whiteboard up. I see one behind you here, but got one up in the hallway outside his bedroom door, and we have the day scheduled out and we have the week scheduled out. So, and then he helps me every Sunday set those schedules. So he has a little bit of control, but you know, maybe that's something we should have done a long time ago, but it was like, okay, we're going to do this. He's had a calendar in his room, but this was kind of like even more of a tool.
Yeah.
Have you, you know, done thing, anything like that? Like, what have you implemented sort of new at home these past 7 months to help you navigate?
Sure. I mean, I think one of the biggest things for us is just trying to be creative and with the little bit of, you know, flexibility that we have, because the struggle with our family too is, you know, it's a big family. So it's hard to even to go somewhere or do something, you know, even what that you are capable of. I mean, we're pretty limited in COVID now anyway. So I've had to just been really creative, whether it's like, okay, what's something we can do here at home that would make today special, or something that they can, like you said, that they could look forward to. Like, we're going to have a picnic outside, but you know, we live on the river, by the river, or we're going to really small things, but trying to make them feel bigger, or, you know, because that's the other thing, even going places. When my daughter Mara, the one with autism that's 11, she has a lot of just unpredictable, can be aggressive behaviors. And so it's hard to take her. Usually if we take her somewhere, it's ideal to take her alone, because if she has a meltdown, oh, well, we leave.
Right.
But the thing is, you bring all of your family with you. And I learned this the hard way years ago. Like, we all went to an Easter egg hunt and it hadn't even started, and I had to take all of my five kids crying with their empty baskets and leave. You know, because she had had a meltdown. So that's always been, that's one of the big struggles in general. And I feel like with COVID, it's just, you know, created even greater limits. Like, we're already limited what we can do, you know. So for me, it's just been really just trying to think, you know, the night before I like brainstorm, what can we do today? What can we do the next day? Something creative. It's not a big deal, but try to make it a big deal. Something for them to look forward to just kind of get them to that next day, into that, you know. So it's been tough, though. And like you said, when you were saying about your son, like saying, oh, it's 2 weeks and then school, and then it's 2 weeks and then you'll go back. And my son that's adopted, that's 7, he finally said to me, Mom, why do you keep lying to me?
Yeah, I told that too.
And I said, honey, I'm not. It's just because things keep changing, you know. They can't. Their little brains don't understand that, you know.
Yeah.
So that's how, it's just so hard.
Yeah, it's been super hard. And, you know, for foster and adoptive parents and parents with kids with special needs, self-care is vital to our success. Especially during these unprecedented, you know, stress levels that we're all dealing with. So Jessica, what do you do to take care of yourself?
Not enough.
I used to poo-poo self-care, and then COVID, and then I'm like, there's no way I'm getting out of this alive if I don't start taking care of myself.
Exactly. Well, one of the big things I love to do is run, but I injured my back like, it's an old injury, but it kind of appeared like a month ago. So that's been like kind of out of the question, because I've been just trying to really baby it. So one thing I love to do, I got my cup here, but is, you know, at least once a week, I try to go at night, because night is my only free time. You know, we still put our kids to bed decently early. Some people are, you know, my kids say, Mom, the sun is still up. I'm like, I know. You know, in the summer when it's 8 o'clock and it's still sunny out, you're like, darn it. But we try to put our kids to bed at a relatively early time, at least the younger ones. And a big thing for me is at least once a week, I try to go get coffee with a friend, you know, and it's not, I mean, as a pastor, this is the other thing, you know, I'm not in full-time ministry, but my husband is the lead pastor of a church. So there's always times too, where people want to talk to about problems and stuff too. And not that I don't make time for that, but I really try to, you know, as far as the self-care thing, okay, I'm going to go get coffee with a friend, no strings attached. We're just going to laugh. This is not a counseling session. You know what I mean? Like, I'm intentional with some of my relationships, and that I make that time to just be and just hang out and de-stress and laugh about our weeks. And, you know, so that for me, you know, nights for me really is my self-care. But then you get tired because you stay up too late. It's a catch-22. And I've found, you know, as I've been writing more, I love writing. So to me, writing is like another thing, like running. It's a hobby that I'm growing to love.
Yes.
And it's something that I can do when the kids are all, you know, asleep. So there's that fine balance of, you know, self-care. Yeah. Sleeping is good too. Yeah. You know, so I need to work on that more, but it's so hard sometimes when you don't have any free time. It's like you cherish that little window of time, and it's like, yeah, it's midnight, but I still want to stay up because it's quiet.
My boys, you know, as teenagers do during COVID, were happy to sleep in.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, which was nice, but I'm a writer also, and my writing time is always, you know, after they would go to school, I would have a quiet house and I could focus on writing before I had to actually, you know, start work for the day. And I work from home for the most part anyway, unless we have meetings and whatnot prior before COVID. Now we just, you know, do the Zoom thing. But so that was, you know, it was like, okay, now they're home. And when they're home, it's loud and crazy. And but my creative time is that early morning time. Yeah. By the time nighttime comes, I'm sort of fried, and you know, I like to read a book, but to be able to write, it was like my brain can't do it with all this action and activity in the house. Yeah. And so it's, you know, it's been, you know, trying to navigate, you know, how do I take care of myself and how do I, you know, so I started doing some exercise early in the morning, and then I always have my quiet time and my coffee and then just sort of like at night, I want to read. Like that's kind of how I was handling some, you know, we planted a garden like with my youngest son for some structure over the summer. We did a garden. So we were working on that. And that, you know, I kind of did that for him thinking it'll give him something to do, but it really ministered to me, you know? So, you know, we do really have to, you know, we can't pour out of an empty cup. So we really do have to take time for ourselves. But I know we talked a little bit about the new school year, but I know with stress levels high in our home since the shutdown, and then they've increased with the approach. I even my own stress level was increasing with all of the unknowns around, you know, all these things we were going to have to do with the new school year and who's going to transport and all of that. It's been crazy. Like I said, today was the first day. So your kids... no one's going back at this point.
No. So October, I believe it's October 13th, they're going to reevaluate, you know, the whole like 2 weeks. Well, it's longer than 2 weeks, but that whole thing, you know, and I always struggle because I talk to other parents and they're like, okay, we can do this for one more month, you know? And even with my special need kids, if I felt like, you know, okay, October 13th, we'll just survive until then. And then they'll go back. But I mean, record shows that they don't go back.
Right.
And I'm not a negative, you know, I keep saying this, you know, because people are like, don't be negative. I said, I'm not a negative person, but I am a realist. Like, you know, it's flu season. We're all shut inside. The cases have gone up in our area. Are they going to magically go down next month? I mean, I would love them to. I hope so. My fingers are crossed. I'm praying like crazy, but to me, that would be more like miraculous than natural, you know? And so in my mind, especially with my kids with autism, I'm like, that's why I've been fighting the school so hard. I'm like, they have to go back because you say October 13th, but we know that it's highly probable that they're not going to go back October 13th either. They cannot not be in school another year.
Right.
They have to be the exception. My other kids, you know, my typical kids, my oldest, you know, he does his own thing. He goes to his room, he locks the door, and he does his remote learning. He's super responsible. I probably should check on him more, but he's that kind of kid, you know? And then my two that are adopted are the other two that are home remote learning, and they both have ADHD. So like remote learning and staring at a screen is not ideal. You know, the whole time I was like fighting with my daughter. So they started on Thursday was their first day. So it's like these live, it's remote learning, but it's live, right? So you see the classmates, you see the teacher. And she's just unmuting herself the whole time, like during the class, the teacher teaching, and I'm fighting with the mute button, holding her hand back. And it says she's sliding out of her chair. She's faces at the camera. She just leaves completely. And I'm like chasing her around the room. And I'm like, oh, this is going to get old fast.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, and hopefully they'll get more into the routine of it. But it's just, I mean, it's really not ideal for anyone. I mean, no kid, it's, you know, remote learning is not the ideal situation. And I know we need to make, you know, the best of it. But, you know, and that's one thing that I'm, you know, I'm starting to realize that, I mean, I always knew that every one of my kids is very different. They learn different. They have different needs. Even your typical kids, like, you know, you can't put them cookie cutter in a box kind of thing. And that's why I just encourage parents, adoptive parents, special needs, just even typical parents that really think about your kid in these situations and what's best for them. You know, I already sent a message to my daughter that's six, that's doing remote learning, that my adopted daughter, to her teacher saying, I don't think these live teachings are going to work for her. She's smart. She's able to do the work. But you put her in front of everybody and like all of the attention seeking behaviors kind of that she has just come out, and she's not doing the work. I'm doing it with her after the teaching is over, right? And so like for her, I feel like it would be better for her and me to work together. You know, the teacher assigns assignments every day. We submit them, keep her on task, but not to get rid of the live, you know?
Right.
So I really, you know, just encourage parents. And then also to realize not just what your kid's capable of, but what you're capable of.
Yeah.
And that is where I've struggled, because in the spring when COVID first happened, and then my kids with autism usually go to summer school, and that got canceled also.
Yes, same here.
There right now, I counted it up, I should be doing 19 Zoom sessions a week with PT, OT, speech, lead teacher. I don't even remember. I think I'm forgetting another one. Between my three kids that have special needs. Yeah, 19 a week, because they're following their IEP now. So if their IEP says you get speech three times a week, well, you get Zoom speech three times a week. Well, I have two kids with autism, so that's just six speeches.
Yeah.
You know? So I looked at that schedule and I literally told the teachers, this isn't humanly possible.
Right.
Like, and so I just encourage parents too, to just not be afraid to say no. I said no. And not only did I say no, oh, well, I won't do 19 Zoom Zoom sessions. I'll do eight. I said, I'm not doing any, which sounds crazy. But right now with all five of mine, I can't help my kids remote learn while doing OT over here with my daughter without
Right.
It makes me completely stressed. Nobody's learning anything, and the whole atmosphere of the house, it's not good. Like, right. And I get the goal of education is good, but this situation is not good for my family. So it was hard for me. I mean, they keep calling me and saying, oh, we're marking your kids absent again today. And I'm like, go right ahead. I'm thinking, well, they're in ABA. They don't even have grades. How do they fail? I don't know. You know, and so I'm not saying throw education out the window, but I think during this time, none of this is normal. And we have to reevaluate, what is my kid capable of doing?
Right.
What are they not? What is going to work? What's not going to work? And not be afraid to say that.
Yeah.
You know, and then look at your own self as a parent. What am I capable of doing? What am I not capable of doing? You know, I think sometimes, you know, you scroll through Facebook and you see some families, you know, like where their kids might not have any special needs and they're all like, we love homeschooling and everything's set up perfectly on their table. And you're like, oh my gosh. Like, and you can feel bad as a parent, like I'm failing my kids, or you can feel guilty, like I hate this.
Right.
Or you can compare your family to a typical family. Like if I had all Jeremiah, my oldest 12-year, if I had Jeremiah times five, we could have happy homeschooling days like there was no other. You know what I mean? But that's not what I have. Like, and that doesn't say anything bad about me. That's just not what God's blessed me with. And I have different needs and I have a different situation. And so it's easy to compare and say, well, I should be able to do this. Or so-and-so seems to do this so well, you know? And so just to really be honest with yourself. And that's something that I did not do in the spring, and I did not do over summer school. And I just kind of just said, no, this is what I am capable of doing. This is what I'm not. This is what my kids are capable of. This is what I'm not. And that's what it is for now. This is hopefully for a season. It's not forever, but this is what we can handle in this season. And let that guilt and shame go. You know, you love your kids and you are doing everything you can, you know? And I think we know that. And that's what we have to stand on, even if it doesn't look like what it maybe should or what somebody else's situation looks like. So
you said all of our kids are different and each one has different needs. And, you know, my older son, you know, he doesn't really care about wearing the mask. He'll wear it, whatever. My younger son has... I think the mask for him symbolizes this thing that turned his world upside down.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's a bad thing. And so he's avoided all this time since we've been home. He avoids going any place that we, you know, even going to the store. He does not like to go out because he has to wear the mask.
Mm.
So it's, you know, so I'm like, okay, we thought our school district would teach or would just implement what, you know, like how the restaurants are doing it. You wear your mask in, you sit at your socially distanced desk or table, and you can take it off while you're sitting there. But our school district said, oh, no, no, at all times, even during instruction. So even though there's only 12 kids max in his class and all the desks are separated, they still have to wear them at their desk. And I'm like, you know, then what's the point of him going to school? Because the whole time he's sitting at that desk, he's thinking about this mask. And how's he going to learn? His brain is not going to be able to, he's going to be in survival mode, right?
Right.
And he's not going to be able to focus on learning because his brain is focused on surviving this whole mask thing. So, you know, we did get it added to his IEP that for every 30 minutes in the mask, he gets a 4-minute mask break. So, I mean, this school is, everybody gets mask breaks, but he'll have more mask breaks more often. But at the same time, it's like if that's what his focus is on the whole time, and they're only there for 5 hours, they've shortened our school day. How is any learning going to get done?
Right.
And our district has said, you know, their priority this year is safety is number one priority, education is second. And while I appreciate, like, I do want my kids to be safe, I really don't fear that my kids are going to get COVID. But they are, you know, there's a mental health crisis going on here, you know, and that is real that we are seeing that. And, you know, I don't know how this is going to work out. So for my youngest son, we had to say to him, okay, you can go. Today was the first day. If you feel not safe, if you feel like you can't do it, then, you know, your teacher's going to call me and tell me I'll come get you early. Or, you know, we've also told him go this week. See how you feel. If you don't feel like you can do this, we'll bring you home. You know, no, he doesn't want to homeschool. We homeschooled for years.
Right.
You put these two boys in 3 years ago because they needed structure. They needed guided social interactions and they needed all those services.
Right.
So, you know, we put them in and they were really thriving. Our school district has an amazing special education program. Right. We've been so thrilled. And then COVID. So now it's like, you know, I can homeschool till the cows come home, but, you know, I can do the academics,
right?
But I can't do super structure and I can't do, you know, I can't provide guided social when with COVID you have to social distance anyway. Like, how are we supposed to do this? So, you know, but, you know, we did tell our youngest son, if you don't, you know, we can homeschool. He's like, oh no, I'll run away. It was kind of, and I'm like, well,
okay.
You know, tell me how you really feel. But you know, we have decided that if school shuts down and like you said, you know, you're supposed to be going back in October. It, you know, how realistic is that? You know, everybody we're hearing from is like, well, you know, we'll be in for school for a little while, but it's all going to come shut down, whether the governor shuts us down again or the county or, you know, somebody in the district gets COVID or whatever, sooner or later, everybody really expects it to close down. So if we have to go back to March where it's like, okay, everything's at an abrupt end, and then we're going to maybe in 2 weeks go back or maybe in another week, you know, like if it goes back to that, I can't, you know, my son can't really handle any more of that emotionally.
No.
So we're, you know, I'm kind of eyeing up what would, if I just homeschooled the younger one, because the elder one is a senior, he doesn't have the level of, you know, need,
sure.
You know, and he'd be happy to just like go to work with his dad and forget the whole thing about going to school anyway. But we're like, no, you're going to finish your senior year. But you know, for my younger one, I don't think he can, you know, for lack of a better term, I don't feel like we can keep jerking him around. Like he can't keep. So I feel like if it shuts down again and we go back to that, we may just cut ties and homeschool him and just be very focused on what his needs are.
Yeah.
Because he just can't keep going through that. It's been crazy as you've experienced.
Wow.
So what, you know, Jessica, what do you think your solution is? Like if you're, so they're not going back and you can only do what you can do. What kinds of things are you doing?
I mean, the other solution that I've looked at, and again, it's like, you're kind of just waiting to see what happens next, but this requires a lot of legwork is both my kids receive the self-direction program. But currently the staff that works with them, they all have jobs during the day. Mm-hmm. So my other thought was looking at hiring one or two staff that don't, you know, have full-time jobs during the day to actually work with them, you know what I mean, during the daytime. there's a lot of stipulations and there's weird things because, you know, it can't be during, you know, a Zoom speech session or it can't be during certain hours, but they're getting more, I don't know if it's Medicaid or who's deciding these things. There's more leeway now with that because they're realizing basically the crisis that is at hand. Like they used to say, oh, well, a staff can't work during school hours. I'm like, they're not in school. Isn't this like logical? They're not there. So can't the staff work now? So they're starting to make exceptions for that. So that would probably be the route that we would head down if they return to school and then things shut down, like you say, because it sounds like they're promising that my kids are going to get in school within the next couple weeks. But it sounds like it might be a lot of hoops we have to jump through, like our whole family being tested, which is fine. We're willing to do that. Transporting them ourselves, which, again, we're willing to do that. Who knows what else? I don't know. But if and when that ends or that doesn't happen, that's my next kind of thing, is to get some structure with a couple of support staff. But it takes several months to hire self-direction, new employees. So it's a process, you know, and I feel like maybe I should have started that process in the summer, kind of anticipating this. But I think we're all in the same boat where we keep thinking, oh, well, things will kind of go back to normal. They don't. And so you're like, but to have some kind of structure where, you know, there's certain staff working with them, and it wouldn't be necessarily working on educational piece of things, because I don't think they're actually allowed to do that either. But it would be the structure of the day of, you know what I mean? Okay, on Mondays, you're going for 3 hours. And that would also help me, free me up to be able to work with my kids that are still remote learning.
Right.
You know, because it's such a distracting environment, like to have your two siblings with autism running around in the background, you know, right. Or having a meltdown when you're trying to work on your math.
Yeah.
There is no quiet in our house. So that would be, you know, I hope it doesn't come to that, but that to me would be the next step of, you know, kind of just trying to, you know, I wouldn't say thrive, but more survive.
Yeah.
You know, if we're all still home. So, and for my sake too, because it's just mentally, like you said, I mean, it's a mental health crisis, and not just for the children, but for the parents and the caregivers or the grandparents or whoever's there, you know, because there's a lot of parents that both work full time. They have to work full time, and these kids are still required to remote learn, which is just crazy to me.
Yeah.
But then you've got grandparents or daycare workers or people. It's just,
It's not, and education's not a one size fits all. So it's not like, okay, the solution is everybody goes to remote learning. Well, that sounds nice, but that doesn't work for most kids. You know, I feel like they're, you know, like I said, we homeschool. I have 8 kids and only the 2 are still in school. So several have, you know, 6 have graduated and a couple are married, but, you know, probably a couple of my, you know, maybe 3 out of the 8 would have really excelled at remote learning, right? The rest of them would not have done so well with that. So, you know, and that's not even kids with special needs or disabilities. Yeah. So, you know, and we did do over the summer, we did it out of pocket. I didn't even look at any rules, but I asked my son's teacher, you know, I said, can you recommend a tutor? Like, is there somebody you can recommend? Because I need to build structure into his day. And I work from home and I don't like mom guilt. So I have to be, you know, if I'm at my computer in the morning working, my son would be very happy to just be in his room all day long. And he doesn't have video games in there. It's not like he's in there entertaining himself. He's listening to music. He rocks for comfort, you know, which was something he learned in the orphanage to do. And he still, you know, of course, during COVID, that's like his go-to thing. He wants to just go to his room and do that. So he's sort of self-isolating, even within our home. Yep. And that's not healthy. So I said, I need some structure, something. So we hired a gal who was a teaching assistant at our school. And my son knew who she was because she'd been the TA in his 6th grade class. So we paid her out of pocket to come for 2 hours every morning, Monday through Friday, and his school teacher, and he has the same teacher for 7th and 8th grade. So he had her last year. He has her again this year. She actually, you know, gave the TA the work to do. So he was working on, you know, stuff that the teacher knew he would need, you know, just so he wouldn't be rusty, to kind of keep his skills up, to keep working. And, you know, it was a great solution to the problem, but you know what, we're in a position where we could pay the tutor. Not every family can do that.
Right.
So, you know, and I know of, you know, kids in his class that were, you know, mom and dad both have to work, and, you know, the child was at home with the grandparents. And this was when we were still doing, you know, this was back, you know, April, May, June, when everybody was sort of trying to do remote learning.
Right.
To try to salvage what was left of the school year. You know, I know kid, you know, that this child's, you know, parents worked. So she was with her grandmother during the day, and after the parents got home from work and after they had dinner, then they were doing her online learning, like her stuff that she had to do. And it's like, that's not even conducive to family life. Like, you know, really it's our kids that are losing out big time throughout this whole crisis. And, you know, there isn't really a light at the end of the tunnel, because whether you guys reopen in October or we all shut down, and everybody I've talked to, everybody's anticipating this is only going to last just so long and we're all going to be home again. So it's like, oh, please. So it's crazy. So actually, Jessica, I would love to pray for you and your family, you know, before we end, because, you know, you don't have any really great solutions. You're just really kind of stuck, and your kids are stuck in there with you, and you're just in such a hard spot. So my heart goes out to you, and I would love to pray for you.
I'll take all prayer.
All right. So let's pray, and our listeners can follow along and receive the prayer or join us in prayer. So Father God, we just come before you, Lord, and I lift up Jessica and her family, her children, her two precious ones with autism, her other kids, Lord, that are trying to navigate the distance learning, Lord. There's so many unknowns, and there's no guarantees, and everything just sort seems to just be, you know, floating around chaotically, and what is the best solution for each child and for this family, Lord. And so we just lift them up to you, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would bring peace to Jessica's home, Lord. Help her to not be anxious, Lord, about anything, but to just come before you, Lord, to keep her eyes on you and not on the storm. We're all experiencing the wind and the waves of the storm, Lord, but when our eyes are on you, Jesus says, peace be still, and the wind and the waves cease. They have to obey him. So we just ask, Lord, that you would speak to that storm and help Jessica to not just survive, but to thrive, and her children to thrive, her family to thrive, Lord, that she would be able to walk on the water, to run and not grow weary. Lord, renew her strength, God, in these very difficult days. It's been 7 months that we've been all walking through this, and it just seems that for so many of us, the end is not in sight, or, you know, it feels sort of like this could even be a false start where schools have opened and, you know, we're just kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. And it's just disheartening and unsettling. And for our children that need structure and routine and consistency, this is not a world of structure and consistency. It seems to just be so chaotic, Lord. But again, we just come before you, and we just ask, Lord Jesus, that you would intervene and that you would say to the wind and the waves, peace be still, oh God. I pray, Lord, that you would provide for Jessica and her family the solutions that they need, the services that they need, the in-person stuff that her children need, Lord, that you would open the doors to that, that you would cut through the obstacles and the red tape and all of those hoops, Lord, and that you would just speed up this process of getting especially her two autistic kiddos into those programs and services and schools that they need to be in, God. We ask that you would go before them and open doors, and that you would bring peace in to their home, Lord. Give them a successful school year, even where it seems that that's impossible right now. We know, Lord, with you, all things are possible. So I just pray, Lord, that you would pour your grace and your peace and your love, Lord, into Jessica and her family, Lord. Just give them that strength and that hope and that encouragement that they need each day, Lord, to navigate through this, Lord, that you would just be with them and direct their steps and meet their needs in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Jessica, before we go, though, I just want to give you an opportunity. Any last thoughts on your heart, advice for families similar to yours, anything you want to share?
I think just the biggest thing would be just reach out for help if you're feeling overwhelmed, because there are so many people in that situation, and sometimes our pride stops us from, you know, reaching out, whether that's, hey, I'm going to go receive counseling because I'm overwhelmed by all this myself as a parent, or if it's, I can't do remote learning with my multiple kids or with different needs, then, you know, pray and ask God to give you a relative or maybe a friend or someone from church that you could reach out to and say, can you come and maybe a couple times a week come and help me in the morning? You know, so I have a hard time. That's something that I struggle with personally, asking for help.
Yeah.
And I think there are a lot of people like that. And this is a season where you have to be able to not be a superhero and let your pride down and just reach out for whatever that means, whatever that looks like. And just really for yourself and for your children, not be afraid to just ask for help. So.
And I think, too, that's a space for, because, you know, we have a lot of listeners who aren't foster or adoptive parents specifically, but they tune in, you know, to this podcast because they love to hear the stories and be inspired and just really see all that God has done. That is a way that everybody can be involved. If you can wrap around a foster or adoptive family that's struggling, especially through this COVID season, you know, show up in the morning and offer to help. You know, whether it's help tutor or help babysit or help, you know, just let mom go to the grocery store or for that cup of coffee. There's a way, you know, that everybody can really minister and reach out and support and come alongside. So we're all called to do something. So we're always encouraging our listeners, find your something. If you're specifically not struggling, find someone who is or who may be teetering and be there for them because, you know, we're, you know, when you said don't be a superhero, I was thinking, you know, those, and I don't follow all those superhero movies, but like, isn't there like the Avengers and like all those superheroes come together to solve the problem, right? So, you know, we need our tribe of superheroes who are going to come together, and we need each other. You know, so that's super important. So I just encourage our listeners to, you know, be that superhero for a family that may be struggling.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, so awesome. Thank you so much for being on, for sharing your story. Stay in touch. Let me know, you know, how you guys are navigating this. You'll continue to be in my prayers because I know you're walking the hard journey there, but stay the course. Keep your eyes on the Lord.
Thank you. I'm hoping to share good news the next time we talk.
Yes, and I'm hoping to hear it. Thanks so much.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
Thanks. I also want to share with our listeners about some excellent training and resources for foster and adoptive parents. Ryan and Kaylin North of One Big Happy Family have been on this show before. In fact, back in March, I interviewed them specifically about parenting during a pandemic. The Norths also host the Empowered Parent podcast, which I highly recommend. I listen to them regularly myself, and they offer online courses as well. They've got one coming up that foster and adoptive parents can hop onto. It's a virtual online training for parents. You can check them out on their website at onebighappyhome.org. You can also find them on Facebook. They have a Facebook page, One Big Happy Home, and that's Ryan and Kaylin North. They formerly were the directors of Empower to Connect. Ryan and Kayla did, when my husband and I attended the training to become parent trainers, they trained us. So they're TBRI, you know, practitioners, trauma-informed, foster and adoptive parents, you know, they're some of the best out there. So I highly recommend that you connect with them. If you're feeling like as a foster or adoptive parent, you really could use some training at this time, some support. They have a Facebook group. They have all kinds of stuff. And I follow their podcast the Empowered Parent podcast, because it's just so encouraging. I'm always, you know, brushing up on my parenting tools with my kids. You know, I, even though my youngest are 15 and 17, you know, different ages, different stages, there's always new challenges, especially during this crazy COVID time. So I want to make sure that you know about that, because they're having a training coming up. I want to thank you for listening to this episode, episode number 238 of Orphans No More Today. And please be sure to watch our virtual fundraiser online starting September 17th at 6:30 p.m., 90 minutes. You can watch it live. Lots of fun and excitement, great for the whole family. Or you can watch it afterwards online for at least the next week. We're going to have it up there. You can find the details on all of our social media, Justice for Orphans. Also on our website, justicefororphansny.org. Just click on events. We're excited to have you as part of our team. Please pray about how the Lord would have you be involved in caring for kids in crisis. And if you were inspired by today's show, I would love to hear from you, and please subscribe and leave a review. That's how we get, you know, more folks hear about our show. If you're subscribing and if you're leaving a review and if you share it with your friends on social media, I really, really appreciate that. And of course, you know, we want to hear from you. Like I said at the top, contact us at justicefororphansny.org. Email me directly, Sandra Flack, JFO@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at Justice for Orphans. We do really love to hear from you. And stay tuned to this podcast and our social media for news about the release of my book, Orphans No More, A Journey Back to the Father. The craziness of life has slowed my progress, but I will tell you that as soon as our virtual event is over and things lighten up around here, I'm going to be diving into finishing up all of the edits and getting this project done. So stay tuned for news on that. Again, thank you for listening, and I look forward to being with you next time right here on Orphans No More.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.